Our second reading this morning comes from the ninth chapter of Acts. I'll begin reading with the 36th verse. Listen that we might hear God's word for us. Now in Joppa there was a disciple whose name was Tabitha, which in Greek is Dorcas. She was devoted to good works and acts of charity. At that time she became ill and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in a room upstairs. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples who heard that Peter was there sent two men to him with this request: "Please come to us without delay." So Peter got up and went to them, and when he arrived, they took him to the room upstairs. All the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing tunics and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was with them. Peter put all of them outside, and then he knelt down and prayed. He turned to the body and said, "Tabitha, get up." Then she opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand, and he helped her up. Then calling the saints and widows, he showed her to be alive. This became known throughout Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Meanwhile, he stayed in Joppa for some time with a certain Simon, a tanner. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Amen. So students of the book of Acts have pointed out that a repetitive trait in this narrative is that the risen Christ sometimes shows up so clearly in the church that a scholar, Willie Jennings, says the church repeats Jesus. It happens here in this story. Peter is summoned to Joppa because a beloved saint of the church there had died. Her name was Tabitha, although some called her Dorcas. We've never heard of Tabitha before, and after this moment, we will not hear from her again. But her death is important enough to the saints in Joppa that they summon Peter, one of the first string disciples. We learn two things about Tabitha. One is that she has two names, and the other is that she was devoted to good works and acts of charity. She was kind. Years earlier in the ministry of Jesus, Jesus is summoned by Jairus, whose daughter is sick and ends up dying. And Jesus arrives, he takes the little girl's hand, and he says, "Little one, get up." And she breathes again. Well, here Peter repeats Jesus, as Willie Jennings says. Peter says, "Tabitha, get up." And the dead woman breathes. Now, I'm not going to pretend to explain that. I've been in the church a long time, and I have never seen the power of Christ show up in just that way. But I think this is a pretty important story for us, so let's stay with it. It's a story about Peter, but even more so, it is a story about this woman with two names. Tabitha is her Aramaic or Jewish name. It's what Peter would have called her. But evidently she had some Greek friends. They called her Dorcas. Dorcas is her Greek name. Both Tabitha and Dorcas, in Aramaic and Greek, both mean gazelle. And she is remembered as a gazelle woman who darted around her community, engaging in acts of kindness. I think that's why she had two names. When I was a kid, I was called Tommy. My dad was Tom, I was Tommy, and from time to time, I'll get an email or a Facebook message that starts, "Dear Tommy." I don't have to read beyond that to know that whoever it is reaching out to me, has connections to the Shalliford Church in Atlanta, where I grew up, and I will forever be 16 years old in their eyes. When I was in college, my suite mates gave me a nickname, and if you were to call me by that name, I would immediately be transferred back to Smythe Hall, room 305. That's not likely to happen because I'm never telling you what that nickname was. But my point is, sometimes names speak our belonging to community. If I understand the text, this woman had two names because everyone in her church, Jew and Gentile, felt connected to her. A little church history. The most difficult, complex, all-consuming social issue of the early church was the relationship of Jews and Gentiles. It was about race. For centuries, Jews and Gentiles were set apart from one another. As a matter of fact, one way to define yourself as being Jewish is you're not Gentile. Their worlds were divided. They didn't share meals. They didn't share prayers. They were divided. But if you read the book of Acts all the way to the end, the most amazing thing happens in the church. Jews and Gentiles begin to come together. They eat together. They learn to love one another. I'm sure there were still issues. I'm sure there were. But the division that had been assumed eternal was beginning to be bridged. I wonder if that bridging began with this woman with two names. Her name was Tabitha. That's how Peter would have known her, by her Jewish name. But her heart was too big to be defined by one people. So she was also known as Dorcas. That's the name her Gentile friends gave her. How did she become beloved by both groups of people? How did she begin to erode divisions that existed for generations? I think in part because she was kind. When Peter came, it says, the widows of the community gathered around displaying tunics and shawls and blankets and clothing that Tabitha had made them. She had darted from need to need, bringing gifts, showing kindness. To Dorcas, it didn't matter who you were. It just mattered that you had need. Maybe your need was because life had been unfair to you in some way, that the systems as they were oppressive. Maybe your need was the result because you made stupid decisions. It didn't matter to her. It just mattered that you had need. And so she lived kindness. And I think she teaches us that kindness is a power. This is a story about Peter, but I think Peter is summoned because he needed to see this. He needed to see the power of kindness to bring people together, the power of kindness to build bridges, the power of kindness to create community. Peter needed to learn that from Tabitha. A few years ago, my wife Carol and I, we went with our kids to Scotland. I had never been before. It's beautiful, just stunningly beautiful. We were taking the train from Edinburgh to Oban, which means we had to change trains in Glasgow. Our ultimate plan was to take the ferry over to the Isle of Iona. But there we were, four Americans, trying to figure out the Glasgow train station. An official there noticed, said, how can I help you? We said, we're looking for the train to Oban. They said, well, that train doesn't leave for over an hour. You're new here. We said, yes, how did you know? He said, well, you should take the time to go and enjoy the city, get some lunch. And we said, well, we've already turned in our tickets. He said, I'll remember you. I'll let you back in. Well, we were hungry, so we went and got some lunch, and I came back fully expecting to buy the tickets again when he spotted us. Hey, mates, come on in. Come on in. It happened just like he said. My son, who was living in New York at the time, said, this would never happen back home. It was kindness, and that kindness made me feel in a surprising way like I belonged a little bit, like I was welcome. like I wasn't a complete outsider in this country new to me. Kindness is a power. So our trip to Scotland ended. We flew home, which means we flew from Scotland to Philly and then caught a plane here to Chicago to catch a plane to Kansas City. But the storms that night in this fair city were pretty bad. So after our flight to KC being delayed 3 and 4 times, it was finally at 1 o'clock in the morning canceled. Having been awake for 27 hours straight, we stepped outside to hail a cab so that we could get a 3-hour nap before our flight the next morning. And it was the worst cab ride in the history of transportation. The cabbie's defroster didn't work, which means he rolled his window down, which meant the snow accumulated on us in the back seat. His map didn't work, and so he asked me to use my phone, which was running out of battery. He said, can you use your phone to tell me how to get to the hotel? I was not overly kind. I wasn't mean. I was just what my family's learned to call short. I was rather short. He said, can you tell me how to get to the hotel? I said, that's not my job. You're the one who's supposed to get to the hotel. Turn right at the next light. When we got to the hotel, Carol said, Tom, what do you think that guy's life is like? From his language, it was clear he had not been in the country long. It's clear he did not have status at the cab company, given the cab that he was driving, and he was driving the midnight shift. If he was like other immigrants I have known, he probably spent that day emptying trash cans in a nursing home or working on a loading dock, and now he's driving a cab at the midnight hour. She said, it looks like he's doing everything he can to make it and is barely holding on. The least you could have done was be kind. I was ashamed, and I was so grateful that he did not know I was a pastor. This man, who was from somewhere in Africa, it appeared to me, very well may have been Christian himself, but I did not treat him with kindness. There was a moment when I could have chosen to repeat Jesus, and I didn't. I wish in that moment I had remembered Tabitha. She was a friend to everyone in her community. Like a gazelle, she darted from need to need. I think Luke lingers with this disciple with two names to remind the church that kindness is a power. Philip Simmons, a former English professor at Lake Forest College, was 35 years old when diagnosed with ALS. He battled ALS for 10 years, and during those years, he wrote a little book entitled Learning to Fall. In it, he said, we know we are truly grown up when we stop trying to fix people. About all we can really do for people is love them and treat them with kindness. People don't need our fixing as much as simple kindness. I think it's true. I also wonder if in this divided, fractured, disrespectful culture of ours, I wonder if a consistent practice of kindness can work a miracle or two. My friend David, he was a one-shop attorney in Jacksonville, Florida. His wife, Winky, and I'm not making that name up, his wife, Winky, was quite the football fan, and David was quite the cook. So when the Sunday school class gathered at their home, which they often did for a social, Winky would be out by the grill debating the pros and cons of zone defense, while David was in the kitchen swapping recipes for lemon meringue pie. He never called attention to himself. I don't remember that he ever served on a board or took a leadership position. He was not what we would call a mover and shaker, not really. But every time I saw him, I'd say, David, how are you? And he would light up. And every time he said, I'm better now that I've seen you. I'm so glad you're here. Do you've got a minute? I've been wanting to catch up. Just tell me everything. Tell me everything. He went to the doctor because he had a cough. Within a couple of weeks, he was gone. When it was time for his service, we couldn't get everybody in the church. There were leadership from the city that were there, and there were people that no one else knew that were there. And the people who couldn't get inside the sanctuary stood outside in the Florida heat because, well, he had convinced us that he was better when he saw us, any of us, all of us. Tell me everything, he said. He was kind to us, to all of us. We all carried to that sanctuary our memories of his kindness, like tunics and shawls and blankets, and laid them before God as a prayer of thanksgiving for his kindness. And it also showed us that kindness is a power. Tabitha, or Dorcas, if that's how you know her, she was kind. I'm sure the people that she was kind to were like people you know. Some of them rather brooding, some of them self-absorbed, some of them angry at the cards that life has dealt them, some of them campaigning for their issues. But she didn't try to fix them. She just was kind. I'm glad to remember Tabitha today, because what she did was miraculous. And I think that kind of miracle is something we need in our country now, because we've learned to not like each other. We've learned to disrespect each other. We've learned to see the worst in each other. And it's serious, because America is not a given. America is a choice. We cannot afford to live as if America is a given, because she's not. She's a choice. And instead of trying to push away or keep out or drive away anyone who doesn't appear to fit in with us, we need some kindness to create community where it hasn't existed before. People who are divided can be brought together. That's why we know of this remarkable woman with two names. And we know of her because she was kind. So I suggest a practice of kindness. And perhaps the risen Christ will show up in the church again, and you and I might be able to repeat Jesus. Now, I know we're Presbyterian, so we don't consider ourselves miracle workers. But engage in a discipline of kindness. And who knows? You might work a miracle or two. It has happened before. Pray with me. Gracious God, we believe. Help our unbelief. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.